This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode, we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is Thursday, November the 21st. And Cecil.
Yeah.
It is a glorious Matt Gaetz free kind of day, my friend.
Yeah, well, Matt Gaetz doesn't get a lot of things for free, it turns out. He has to pay for quite a few things.
We'll talk about that, but you've got some YouTube news.
Yeah, we should talk about YouTube, I guess.
Let's talk about YouTube.
Yeah, so this week on YouTube, I posted a short video. Some people might not have seen it, but the long and short of it is, essentially for YouTube from now on, we're going to just be posting our show as segments. We're going to be releasing it in the morning when the show releases to the wide audience and on audio format. So you can just go straight to YouTube and watch it. There's going to be a playlist. You could actually just watch it as a playlist. The experience of watching our show as segments shouldn't change too much from people, but there will be separate shows. We won't be premiering it anymore. The reason why we're changing it, I'll be real brief about this. You could watch the entire video. It's only like a 4-minute video, but I'll be real brief. The reason why we're changing it is it's harder for YouTube to take an entire show down if for both what they consider misinformation and for monetization strike stuff. It's harder for them to take an entire show down if it's already segmented out. So They can't pull down the whole show. They'll just pull down a segment. And it just makes it easier for us. We're going to let people know if you're watching, you know, even if you're watching this on YouTube or if you're listening to this and you were somebody who watches stuff on YouTube and you liked having that whole show experience, patrons will continue to get that whole show experience. We post it for patrons early. The entire video goes out to patrons, but we just can't, it's just so much easier to do it this way. I do believe the show for the next couple weeks until we decide what to do with Twitch is still going to be posting about the same time, I think, on Twitch. I'll ask Ian about that, but I suspect it'll still be posting to Twitch for a little while until we make a decision on how that's going to continue on too. But we are going to be segmenting the show on YouTube. So if you're seeing this now, it's part of a segment.
So will Ian still have a chance to give us copyright strikes all the time?
That's the best part about it is that stuff will just go in the main show and the audio show, and that doesn't give you a copyright strike. So we won't get anything like that. He's not going to be bumpering out things. He will be bumpering it out for our patrons, right?
Right.
But he won't be bumpering it out for the because it won't have a bumper. It'll just come right in.
But if Ian can't cost us money, why are we even keeping him around? It's confusing.
It feels extra wasteful.
This would be where Ian would chime in with a full-throated defense, but he doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, he doesn't listen to
fine.
The show, so it doesn't matter. I want to ask you before we move on to the main show.
Yeah.
What did you think about this week and the appointments and lack thereof, I guess?
Well, I think the best thing about the appointments this week were the appointments that weren't. I think
that's a good feeling.
That is Matt Gaetz. Gaetz pulled out. Now, that's not a line directly from his ethics complaint.
We don't know if he pulled out or not.
We
have no idea. We're not sure.
Of the 17-year-olds he's accused of trafficking
for
sex.
He's in Florida, so he probably did. Because you know what I mean? It's harder
You're going to want to pull out if you're in Florida.
Yeah, pull out or make sure that she's on illegal... medication to prevent a pregnancy.
Look, you don't want to create more Floridians, right? Like, of all the things to do in this world, like, I feel like we can all agree that we don't need more Floridians.
I don't care about Florida or not. I don't want any more Matt Gaetzes. Like,
Jesus,
that's all I'm saying, man. Like, good Lord, no.
So he's done playing. What I love is he resigned from the House.
Yeah.
accepted the nomination for Attorney General, and then is now like left the running for Attorney General. So he's fucking jobless right now.
Yeah.
He's fucking unemployed.
I think this was soft landing plan on his part, right? Because like he left the House, so they had to discontinue the inquiry.
Yeah, the ethics investigation.
And so now that ethics inquiry's shelved. Now they have the report, but they shelved it. And so now that's not going to continue.
Right.
Our Merrick Garland, who has turned into an absolute trash attorney general when it comes to going after some of these people and, you know, actually pursuing people that are breaking the law in high places. He's done a very bad job of this, especially if they're finding really horrible shit in the ethics report that they don't even want to release. And Merrick Garland was just like, yeah, we just decided not to fucking go after, like, get the fuck out of here.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah,
that dude should have. What the
fuck is that? Should have fucking sicked the dogs on him. Instead, he was just like, I don't think so. So anyway, Merrick Garland is his own disaster. But I will say, this is a great way for Gates to have a soft landing because Gates can now be like, oh, well, they didn't want me to be the AG, so that's fine. I'll just go land myself at a corporation or a big law spot somewhere and be fine. And that big report that was going to be either if he stayed in Congress, it was going to be a big report, or if it was the AG, it was going to be a big report. Now it's gone. Doesn't matter.
This is totally a get, but like, you know, doesn't it make you wonder why there's ever an ethics committee investigation that is not public? Do you think as a democracy that should just never be the case, that all ethics committee investigations should always and by definition be public 100% of the time, just without, like, this is like one of the few times I've ever found myself agreeing with Marjorie Taylor Greene of all people.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the tweet
she tweeted out. Yeah, she was like threatening us with a good time or something.
She was like, oh, if we're going to blow up this for an ethics, then we should open up all the ethics. And I was like, well, I thought they all were open.
Yeah.
Like, what weird world are we living in? We're like, all right, well, there's an ethics investigation. Doesn't look good.
I mean,
telling you what's in it. What?
I can see one side of that in the sense that like unsubstantiated claims in the information ecosystem can grow and be, you know, even if they're found to be false, people still have to hear them. And so someone saying an unsubstantiating claim or lying in front of an ethics committee, and then that becomes a thing that now they have to play damage control. And we all know the corrections on page 10, not on the first page. So now you have a person who's like, maybe ruined their whole life because they had an open book. Do you see what I mean? Like they're.
Yeah. I agree that like while it's being investigated, it should not be open. Like during the investigative phase. Right. I totally, for exactly the reason that you articulate.
I see what you're saying, but you're saying the report should be open.
But once it's done, we should have a fucking right to it.
Like, I take back what I said. I take you back. Know? I thought I was talking. We're talking about two totally different things.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
I agree with you. Once it's done and you guys have made your decision, let's see it.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Like, we're not going to let, well, he quit. So it's moot. That's not moot. Like who the fuck was that guy that worked for me? Like, what if he wants to run for Congress again?
Yeah.
The problem is, like, he could just run for Congress again. And, like, I don't know I don't know how that works, but it's probably a fucking total reverse card Uno do-over or whatever.
He runs for Congress again and then gets two seats somehow? How did this even happen? I also heard that it's possible that that they could appoint him, Florida could appoint him Rubio's spot.
Oh,
because he's Florida,
right, because he's vacated to be Secretary of State.
But I don't know if that ethics thing then comes back, right? Because they got all the ethics stuff. Now what? Right. So, yeah, I don't know enough of the inner workings. What I did want to say about all the appointments, though, before we get too far afield, I wanted to mention like something Bannon said years ago, which is fill the entire information system with shit. He had said that years ago. Fill it with shit. Just fill it with garbage because then nobody knows what's true, what's not. And also people get fatigued. And I want to remind people how fatigued we were during mm-hmm. Trump's presidency. Trump did the exact same thing last time. He appointed fucking complete bonkers, crazy people that you would never expect to be part of these, head of these departments. He appointed people you're like, what in the world is happening? And think back to Biden's appointments. One, I can't even really name them. But two, when we look through them, we're like, oh yeah, that guy's a PhD and he did this and that makes sense. And oh, that person's a general and it makes sense that they would be in charge. It's not like, you know, you're not appointing the Grinch in charge of presents or whatever, you know, like whatever Gates is doing, the exact opposite, that the fucking fox in charge of the hen house or whatever. Trump is doing those things, but it's not, it's also craziness, like there's like a level of insanity to it. And I don't think it's calculated insanity, but I think the right has found a perfect person in Trump mm-hmm. who doesn't really think about what he does. He pulls the trigger and just throws people out there. And it's great to mask the information ecosystem. So it gets a bunch of people talking about these crazy appointments. And once in a while, they can slip something past the goalie while we're talking about stuff that doesn't matter as much. And I don't know how much these appointments are going to matter, but I know that we've got to pay attention to a lot of things at once.
Yeah, well, this feels like a it's what plants crave moment.
Oh, absolutely. Know? No, like, I'm not.
Like, Linda McMahon.
She was the small business administrator last time.
And now she's in charge of education. Last time Trump was in charge, he put the Amway lady in front of the Department of Education.
Yeah, maybe she's going to be the small business administration person because that makes more sense.
That makes way more sense, right? Yeah, she should be like in charge of our pyramids, but instead we had Ben Carson who thought they were full of grain or whatever.
Full of salt or whatever, Big salt shakers.
Like, we seriously got a fucking, like, wrestling mogul. This is so unbelievably goofy stupid. And, like, I'm just, like, there's a part of me that if this was happening somewhere else, I would be like, oh, get me some popcorn. I will watch this, but it's happening here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, we're kind of the, ooh, like, there's a nuclear briefcase and there's like people like fucking body slamming each other in the Oval Office or whatever.
I gotta say though, and I think that this is something that occurred to me. I might even mention it last time, is I don't know how damaging these people will be in these jobs. I wonder if these people are going to have to find their feet, understand what's happening around them. These aren't insiders. These aren't the insiders that were promised to them in Project 2025. These are people who don't understand what's really happening. But I mean, tell me Linda McMahon knows what's happening with fucking Department of Education. She doesn't, right?
She has no idea. Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean she can't be damaging, right?
Doesn't mean she can't break it.
Yeah,
right?
But it also doesn't mean that she can't break it with a scalpel like an insider could.
Right. You know, it reminds me, like, when I first got, I'll just tell you a quick story. When I first got the job that I have now, so I've been with the company I'm at now for 11 years. And when I got this job, it was a big job and it was a big promotion and it was a brand new company and everything was just different. Everything was just different. And the lady that was supposed to, like, mentor me into the job a little bit, she wanted to see me fail in that job. So she was trying to sabotage me. And so, like, she kept doing all kinds of stuff and, like, lying. And it was just, it was a train wreck. My first, like, 6 months of that job, I had no idea what I was doing. I walked into work every day, Cecil, and I was like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do today. And I would sit down in a chair and be like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do today. Until I figured out what I was supposed to do, I didn't really do much of anything, right? I was not an effective person, to your point. I was not an effective person in that role for several months until I figured out, okay, I think I understand how this shit works. And that is a way smaller job. I have a way smaller job than, like, Secretary of Education.
Or Secretary of Defense.
Or Secretary of Defense. Yeah. Like, this is a guy who, like, last time he went to work, went to Fox and Friends on the weekend show.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be showing up at the Pentagon.
We messed up last time. Somebody said it was he's a Fox and Friends, like, secondary host, like a weekend show.
Dude, he's JV.
He's Fox's friend of a friend. He's not even Fox's friend.
And we don't even know what the Fox says. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's just, it's going to be bizarre. And, like, also the people surrounding, like, Hegstead or Hegsworth or Wigglestud or whatever his fucking name is, I forgot, the Fox and Friend guy, Like, it's not like he's going to walk into a room in the Pentagon and command respect.
No, of course not.
You know, I was thinking about that, too. He's going to walk into a room full of smart, serious people, and they're going to look at him and be like, dude, you're not my boss.
Yeah.
You're not, I'm not like.
You're a transitional guy. You're the acting guy. I don't even care if they fucking put you in and say that you're the qualified. You're not qualified. I would never listen to you.
Dude, I'm a fucking 4-star general and shit, and some fucking wiggle butt walks in the door and he's like, I've got to call a meeting. I'd be like, I'm not going to your meeting.
And one thing I think
just wouldn't even go to your meeting.
You know, we read a lot of Project 2025.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things about Project 2025 that to me they were underestimating is the ability to look at your boss and tell them to go fuck themselves that governmental employees have. And I don't think that they're going to be able to change things so drastically that they'll be able to make like crazy firings and things like that. And also, if you fire a bunch of people and other people think they're next, they're not going to make it easy on you. They're not going to roll over for you. You got to fight for every inch you take there. So I don't know that it's going to be as easy as that plan lays it out to be.
I don't know if it is either.
It's possible. Yeah. I mean, you already have the Doge guys, the Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk. They're not even real department is already saying
I know.
That they're going to cut, they have massive layoffs in across the board for governmental jobs. And that that smacks to me is like, I mean, like what that says to me is that they're trying to do the same thing Elon did when he came in Twitter, which was he didn't know how it worked. And so he just let a bunch of people go. And then it kind of kept itself up enough so that there was still a system and he was able to save it. Now it works shittily. It doesn't work as well as it did before. And it doesn't have the content moderation stuff that it had. And it goes down once in a while. And whenever he has to have somebody on, they sound like Sylvester from the Putty Tat or whatever, you know, they sound weird, but that's the thing is you're in a situation where I think they're treating the government the same way he was treating that business, which is I'm just going to let everything go.
Yeah.
And then if it's still standing with the toothpicks, I'll shore up what I need to, but everything's just going to go. And they're going to treat it the same way. The government's going to be treated the same way this upcoming term.
Yeah, it's going to be bizarre. And the wreckage is severe, but I am glad to see Matt Gaetz, even temporarily. I love to see an unemployed Matt Gaetz.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's
yeah.
nothing better. There is like an in jail Matt Gaetz would be better, but an unemployed Matt Gaetz I'll take.
I will wonder if his friend takes EBT.
Take the carbon, leave the Bible. Let's go.
All right, Cecil. So this first story comes from the Friendly Atheist. Texas is about to push Bible lessons in public elementary schools. Texas is poised to adopt the Bluebonnet Learning Curriculum, which critics argue embeds Christian teachings into public elementary school education under the guise of secular instruction. Despite claims of promoting cultural literacy, the curriculum emphasizes Bible stories as historical fact, includes religious figures like Queen Esther alongside real historical activists, and prioritizes Christian narratives while sidelining other religions. While optional, financial incentives for low-income districts make it likely to be widely implemented, sparking concerns about violations of church-state separation and academic integrity.
This is a fucking horror show of not only manipulation by that government to try to get lower-income places because they were promising $40 to $60 per student if they follow this curriculum.
Yeah.
So they're promising a lot of money, a lot of state money to go to these schools if they follow this very specific Bluebonnet curriculum. And the Bluebonnet curriculum really does, it centers religion. What it does is it centers Christianity and everything from history to other things that are, you know, pretty much throughout history. And even some things that aren't historical related will have Christianity inserted to them. You know, one of the examples was they were talking about how people were learning about Leonardo da Vinci, but they spent a lot of time talking about the Last Supper picture instead of talking about all the other stuff that he did,
right?
They're spending a lot of time talking about the religious aspect of those people's lives, talking about religious aspect of, you know, certain people's speeches rather than focusing on other parts of the speech that is more important and had a bigger, a greater meaning at the time. That's the problem with this is that it's centering Christianity as the thing that we're going to talk about. And everything is sort of centered around it. And it's a terrible system. But this is exactly what you would expect from a system that literally is put in by Christian nationalists.
Yeah, well, and the first publisher that they went to, they were like, yeah, can you make textbooks, but like religious ones? And the first publisher was like, no.
No.
So they had to go to a specifically like crazy religious publisher to be like, hey, we want crazy religious nonsense in our textbooks. Also, Yeehaw, Texas.
Yeah, right, right.
And they were like, yeah, we've got you. No problem. It strikes me too, like, how insecure are you? Imagine this. You believe that you have an omniscient, omnipotent God, the God that created time itself, time, space, every law of physics, chemistry, etc., created life from nothing. That guy is on your side. And you're like, still not enough, not compelling enough. I want it in the textbooks. Yeah. How fucking weak is that? How weak is that argument that you're like, yeah, I mean, I know I've got like literally the most powerful conceptually possible force behind me on this one, but I'm still going to have to rig the scales so that little kids,
yeah,
because I know that if I tell these crazy stories to adults or even semi-adults, it's so weird as somebody who's like raised kids now that are like coming up on 18. I've got two kids that are, they'll be 18 here in like 5 minutes. And like, they've not been raised religiously. And when I say that, they don't really know Bible stories at all. Like, they don't really even have the full narrative of the Bible. They don't know what it's all about. And every once in a while, something will come up and like somebody in the household will be like, well, how does that work? And I'll be like, and then you say it out loud and everybody looks at you like, the fuck are you talking about? I'm like,
that's,
I know,
stupidest,
man.
Stupid as shit. Yeah.
This is fucking crazy. It's like, it's only not crazy if you hear it as a kid. See, and that's the thing. I was like, if you just try to tell somebody the story of Jesus, just the broad outline of Jesus, and you just come at it like objectively from the top, you're just like, not even trying to be snarky about it. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
Like, it literally, you cannot make it make sense, because the only way it makes sense is if you start with this sort of like whole foundational underpinning of sin and salvation. But if you don't start there, if you have to bring that in from the outside because you don't have that, you've got to be like, all right, so, because it all is so crazy. And like reasonable people will look at you and be like, well, that just doesn't make any sense. You'd be like, yeah, I fucking, of course not.
I also think too that, you know, even if you bring in, oh, it's for the metaphors, it'd be like, well, get better metaphors.
They're not even good metaphors.
Get a better metaphor because you're bad at it. Those metaphors are bad. Those metaphors are bad. And I can prove it to you when, you know, one of the people is using your book to deport millions of people. Like, I can already prove it to you. Your metaphor is bad.
When the chips are down, these civilized people, they'll eat each other.
This next story comes from the Arizona Mirror. Biden locks in $6.6 billion for TSMC chip factories, ensuring Trump can't rescind the CHIPS Act deal. The Biden administration has finalized a $6.6 billion award for the Taiwan superconductor giant that is building massive factories in Phoenix. Amid concerns, President-elect Donald Trump will derail subsidies aimed at fostering the domestic chip industry. So this is like a last minute, like, got to button everything up and make sure that like some legacy prevails, but also make sure that the thousands of jobs that this CHIPS Act will create are actually created in this state. I just want to like, imagine how much this wouldn't have happened if you went reverses in a state that flipped red.
Yeah.
Biden is like, hey, you know what? I'm still creating those thousands of jobs because it's the right thing to do, because that's the commitment we made, because I still believe in my obligations to this country. That's just the right thing to do. I fucking absolutely guarantee in the reverse.
Oh, no.
There's a 0% chance, a 0% chance that the same thing would happen.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And I think one of the reasons why they're trying to safeguard this is because Trump is going to do his very best to undo anything Biden did. Now, I want you to pay attention, and I want you to remind everybody that you know that voted for Trump too, that when he does this, he will not pay attention to whether or not anyone or a great deal of people are benefiting from it. He doesn't care about whether or not it's a good policy. All he cares about is undoing something someone else did.
That's exactly
right. That's all
he
cares about. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about the jobs this is creating. None of that. I know in the article they say they're doing this to try to safeguard it, but we've heard that before. And we've also seen the Supreme Court go ahead and side with him on many occasions where we didn't think they would side with him at all. So right. I have no idea whether or not this particular thing is going to be safeguarded by, you know, by his actions or not.
Right.
I think it's a great thing. I think it's awesome that he's going out of his way to, like you say, create jobs in a state that didn't reward his party at all in the election. I think that's important for the entire nation to make sure that we create jobs wherever you can. And so awesome, an awesome thing for him to do. But I make no mistake, Trump does not care, and he will do whatever he can to take it down and to remove it. And some of these people, even though the leopard will be on their face when they vote next time, will continue to vote for Trump and vote to get kicked in the face by him.
Yeah, dude, there will be people. So let's assume that the 6.6, here's a crazy truth about America. Like, let's assume that all $6.6 billion of funding is funneled into Arizona and the Phoenix area specifically. And this Taiwanese superconductor giant comes in, and together there's an enormous synergy in these plants. These giant manufacturing plants are constructed, and the microchips or whatever, the semiconductors are being produced. And these are good paying jobs. These are quality jobs. These are good paying jobs. There will be people, of the thousands of people, there will be people who work at that factory and still will vote against the guy who helped create those jobs, or against the party that helped create those jobs, or for the party that tried to stop the funding that enabled the very job that they have. That's insane. But you know it's true. You know that like if you walked into one of these buildings and were like, hey, you know, like, this building was only built because of the infrastructure bill. The infrastructure bill that Biden passed, the infrastructure bill that the Democrats fought for, that the Republicans fought against. The only reason this job exists or this plant exists is for this. And you know there'd be people in that plant who'd be like, yeah, well, he just doesn't care enough about the economy.
Yeah.
you'd be like, ah, how are you walking on two legs?
Yeah, but
what is happening?
What they're really saying is, I hate trans people.
Right.
That's what they're really saying.
Well, I mean, the other candidate was a woman and all.
Yeah.
An immediate ban on all overtime. Yeah. Right?
All right, this story comes from Huffington Post. This is very interesting to me. Trump judge blocks overtime pay for 4 million workers. On Friday, a federal judge in Texas struck down a new rule from the Biden administration aimed at extending overtime protections to millions of workers. The overtime rule is one of the furthest-reaching economic reforms that President Joe Biden has pursued unilaterally through the federal rulemaking process. It would dramatically expand the share of workers who are entitled to time and a half pay when they work more than 40 hours in a week. So, did you ever have a job, Cecil? I was thinking about this earlier today. Did you ever have a job that moved you into a salary position and you could tell the reason that they did it was to avoid paying you overtime and to work you more hours?
Luckily, I never had to worry about that. Any job that I worked overtime in, I got overtime pay. That I worked in my life. I never had a job that I was an hourly person and I was working so many hours that they turned to me and said, you know what, we're going to make you a salaried person. That's never happened to me.
Do you know that that's happened most of my adult life?
I imagine it. I recognize in the industry you're in and the hours I know you used to work that probably happened.
Yeah. I just real quick, when I worked at, so when you're in sales is excluded from overtime pay, even if you're hourly. Sales is just excluded categorically from overtime pay. So there's a variety of professions that are excluded from the federal overtime pay rules. So when I was in sales, I worked a lot of hours and I never got paid any overtime for any of those hours because in sales, you're automatically excluded. And then when I got my first job in the industry that I'm in now, I was promoted to manager in 6 months. And I was a very young guy and I had just barely gotten there. And they promoted me to be manager in 6 months, even though I had really no authority and I really had no employees,
because it was a way to, for them to make sure that they didn't have to pay me a fucking dollar of overtime.
Sure, yeah.
And makes then when sense. I got to the other company, so I moved from that company to another one. I got a job. I wasn't in a managerial spot. And again, got promoted within a handful of months into a managerial role with no real authority and not a lot of people working under me, at least initially, because I was working a fucking million hours and it was a way for them to avoid paying me overtime.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever gotten a dollar of overtime pay in my life. I don't know that I ever have gotten, because I don't think I've ever had a full-time job. Now that I think about it, I don't know that I've ever had a full-time job where I've gotten paid overtime.
Sure.
Where I've qualified for it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The rulemaking process really was to say, okay, people who are making less than a certain dollar amount, they got to get paid overtime.
Yeah.
You got to pay these guys overtime. You can't do this bullshit where you're paying somebody $25 an hour, the equivalent thereof, you know, $40,000, $50,000 a year. And then you're going to say, oh, you don't get paid overtime because you're this category of exempt employee, but you don't get paid more. You're categorically exempt in some bullshit way. But that means that we can work you 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And it doesn't cost us the company anymore. And they changed the rule. And these judges that absolutely do legislate from the bench that, in crazily, Cecil, they always find authority when they want to vote against stuff like this, right? It's always exceeding the government's authority when they want to vote against stuff, stuff like this, right? But like the president has unlimited other authorities, right? The president has like virtually unlimited law-breaking authority, for example.
Yeah.
But he can't like make a rule that we actually pay people a decent wage. It's amazing how that works.
If the government should do anything, it should regulate that workers are not exploited. The government does anything, right? I don't care who you are. I don't care what brand of American you are, whether that's libertarian or that's conservative or that's, you know, it's liberal or left or whatever, or tanky, whatever. You don't want to see a group of people getting exploited by their boss, by their company. If the system does anything, it should be to protect those people, right? And instead, what we're doing is we're creating a system that then has this one simple trick to get your employees to work unlimited hours and you don't have to pay them. Like, all that shit is dumb loophole shit that shouldn't be in there. If you can't afford to hire employees and pay them a regular wage and have them do work at the hours that are requested and they get that wage from you, if you can't afford that and you have to do some kind of crazy loophole in order to fix that so that they are stuck doing massive amounts of work for not as much pay, that should be the time where the government steps in and says, maybe you shouldn't have a job. Maybe you shouldn't have a business. Maybe you shouldn't be exploiting these people.
Dude, I agree. This should be like a central function of government, right? Is to protect us for this. Also, it should be the case that overtime should be something that a company uses as an exception and not something that a company uses because it's fucking free because they reclassified their employees.
Yep.
If you're paying time and a half, when I manage people, I'm very acutely aware of my overtime line because I know every hour of overtime, unless I'm using it only in a peak season, is bad management. Like if I'm off peak season and I'm spending a huge amount of money on overtime, I don't have enough people. I don't have enough staff. I've managed this poorly. And now I'm paying everybody 50% more for the same labor I could be getting if I staffed my people properly. But if you reclass all your employees, so that now you don't have to pay them overtime.
Yeah, yeah.
Then why would you ever staff appropriately?
Yeah,
you could run them like fucking animals.
Yeah, you can work them like dogs. And we have labor laws in this country very specifically to try to prevent against that. But this is an example of conservative justices ruling on the side of the ruling class, ruling on the side of the business class, ruling on the side of the elite, and it's attacking workers. And this is a Trump-appointed judge. And make no mistake, Trump ran on no taxing on overtime, right? He ran on that. No tax on overtime was his big thing that he was talking about for much of his campaign. Well, that's because there's this weird, simple trick where you don't have to pay overtime. Yep. So he can fucking make a promise that no one ever has to give the government because there doesn't have to be any overtime pay for those people.
Yeah, we won't tax you on the money we don't pay you. How magnanimous of us.
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm not going to tax you at all on the money I didn't give you. Oh, yeah. Wow. Let me go ahead and show up and fucking vote for you because I'm stupid.
All right, now talk. Give me that abort code.
Okay, I'll talk. There's six numbers.
I'm coming, Frank.
2-1-7.
Well, thanks a lot.
This story comes from the Joe My God blog. This is Kenneth Copeland. Those who didn't vote for Trump will spend eternity hearing the names of aborted babies.
Here we go. Okay, I'm going to play it for everybody. Here we go.
I saw this in the spirit, literally, Judgment Day. And Jesus stood there. And he said, those of you that didn't vote, I put you in that nation and you didn't vote. So you will hear, or you didn't pray and vote like I told you to. You will listen to the names of all the babies that are here and never got any life. And it'll take a while because there's over 65 million of them. But you are going to listen to every one of them and you are going to be held responsible for their death.
Yes.
Tom, what? Who named them, though? Like, what? I guess my question, my big question is like, who named them? And are they just like a baby A164?
That's right. Yeah. Like, does he think people name their abortions?
admittedly, I'm sure there are some people out there who, you know, sure, they might have been going through a very difficult time and they
absolutely
had to, and so they might have even had a name picked out or whatever. I'm not, and I don't want people to think I'm like making fun of people who might have had some tragedy in their life, but I am seriously, and with all seriousness, I mean this. What the sweet fuck are you talking about, man?
Why also is he seemingly so mad at his congregation for not voting for Trump?
Yeah,
he's
right,
excoriating
right
them. But Trump won.
Yeah.
You have to presume that the people in this room that are listening to Kenneth fucking Copeland, yeah, as if he's a serious, when he's standing in front of me going, I literally saw Jesus tell me a story. And I'm sitting in that room, Cecil. I'm sitting in that room and I'm casting a vote for Harris.
Yeah,
there's
I know,
no
right
way.
You're sitting in his audience. There's no way. There's no way. Yeah.
There is no overlap.
Nobody hates themselves that much. No sane person hates themselves that much. No. You just don't.
No, there is no amount of self-recrimination that is possible for you to do. The Venn diagram here of Kenneth Copeland and Trump voters is just a circle. It's just a, there's no one outside that circle.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a smaller circle than the regular circle because some of the women probably don't vote because their husband will let them.
Look, I guarantee there are more people sitting in that audience that have had an abortion and named it.
Yeah, right.
Than people who actually voted Harris Walz.
Can I just want to say though, you know, and I'm going to get a little bit into the weeds here for a second, but really, you know, what he's saying is that God gives you free will to vote for whoever you want, but he gives you guidance. So his guidance was vote for Trump. But really, almost every single thing that is supposed to be good about the Bible, and even things that these people, mm-hmm, you know, constantly tout, Trump has flown in the face of these things.
All of
you know,
them.
He's a guy who has a bunch of mistresses. He's a guy who's committed sexual assault. He's a guy who doesn't keep his promises. He's a person who tries to hurt people when he's in power. Like he does all the things, I think, that if you were going to say this is good, this is bad, these are all in the bad column.
100%, so
you
could argue, man.
You could argue if you were a follower of Kenneth Copeland that you did take your nudgings from Jesus, right? Your nudgings from Jesus to vote for the person who wasn't Trump, because that was probably the better call for morality.
Yeah, Trump has been like, Jesus didn't have a whole lot to say about gay people, but he had a whole lot to say about divorce.
Yeah.
Trump's
yeah.
been divorced twice.
Yeah.
He's been divorced twice. That there are evangelicals lining up to suck this guy's dick, even still, is just a testimony to how much they understand they can use him.
Yeah.
Right? That's all this is about. They understand that they can use him for some reason. The same truck nuts, fucking flailing, flag loving dipshits that show up to Kenneth Copeland's church are the same people that are susceptible to that same hyper masculine nonsense model that Trump spews. And they know that if they're that the same people are going to go home and buy a Trump coin or a Trump shoe or a Trump like fucking Bible or whatever, are going to drop money into their fucking tithing buckets.
Yeah.
And that's all any of this is about. Like, this isn't even a, this has nothing to do with abortion or like whether they care about, this is all tithing. Kenneth Copeland's rich as fuck and not like his church is rich as fuck. I mean, Kenneth Copeland, the single actual person, is rich as fuck. He's running a fucking business. He's running a train on you bitches. Are you kidding me?
I also want to point out too, that across our country, people still voted for Trump, but they also voted for abortion, man.
Yeah.
Look at Missouri. Josh Hawley won. Trump won Missouri. You know what also won? Enshrining abortion so that the government couldn't come fuck with it. So it was on the same ticket and they chose one and then the other.
Yeah,
all those people who chose Trump going to still have to listen to all those names because they voted for abortion? Also, it's eternity. What is 65 million names? Who
cares? This is something to do.
It's nothing.
That, yeah. Like if
it's
I go
eternity.
To hell.
What do I got? It's like a fucking weekend. Are you kidding
that's
me?
That's it. I know. It's nothing. A blip. Cecil, if I go to hell and the worst thing that's down there is somebody's fucking basically reading out a commencement fucking schedule. That's it. Jim Smith.
Yeah. Agreed.
Sarah Paulson.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who cares?
Now,
that's nothing.
Counterpoint, Tom, if you go to hell and they play the Menards music the whole time, then it
Cecil,
is hell.
I
it's
swear to God.
It's absolute hell. It's hell. I mean, 100% you're trying to kill, you're trying to end your own life any second you're down there.
Dude, when I die, if I end up in hell and it is not the Menards music, I'll be like, could be worse.
It could be a lot worse. Yeah, I realize that you're pulling my toenails off, but if I was listening to the Menards music at the same time,
that's it magnifies it all at that.
Way worse.
The thing is with the Menards music too, and everyone who knows Menards will understand this.
Yeah, but by the way, if you don't know Menards, go look up the jingle on the internet so you can find it.
You save big money. You save big money when you shop Menards.
Well, you know, I do listen to the podcast. When I'm told to, for money. But hey, if you're looking for savings, why not try Menards? Because we're kicking Menards, because we don't want to be overcharged.
Plumbing, electrical appliances too. The savings will always come right back to you. You'll save big money, you'll save big money when you shop Menards.
So why not come on down to Menards and check out our major appliances? It's a brand you can trust. Heck, why not grab a pair of Menards? You want the nose? And if you want on your nose.
What listeners have to understand is that the jingle is irritating and it's earwormy and it's the worst. But the worst part of it is the context that you hear the Menards music in. I can tolerate the Menards music on a commercial. I'm watching TV. Menards commercial comes on. There it is. Where I cannot abide the Menards music is when I'm in the fucking Menards.
Yeah.
Why are you playing me a commercial for the place I'm at?
And
do you think I'm going to not be there?
It's all
I'm
they
fucking
play.
There. It's all they play.
But this is different. They've crossed the line.
You crossed the line first, so you squeezed them. You hammered them to the point of desperation. And in their desperation, they turned to a man they didn't fully understand.
This story comes from Reuters. Trump's pro-Israel cabinet picks upset Muslims who voted for him. U.S. Muslim leaders who supported Republican Donald Trump to protest against the Biden administration's support for Israel's war on Gaza and attacks on Lebanon have been deeply disappointed by his cabinet picks, they tell Reuters.
Hey, buddy, you got a leopard on your face. just brush it. Just brush your face a little. What? It's hanging. Like, it's kind of, like, it's hanging off your beard in a way that, I mean, I would have thought you'd have seen it. But in any case, just brush it. It's a leopard. It's on your face. What? Be careful.
I'm surprised. When like, the least surprising thing was, like, when he appointed Mike Huckabee to be the fucking ambassador. And Mike Huckabee's like, there's no such thing as a Palestinian. This is fucking Judea. What are you talking about?
We're going to ship them 2,000-pound bombs and cows we genetically modified. So that the end of the world can come sooner.
See, so I don't want to, like, do too much of this, but I'm going to do a little. They interviewed a couple of people who are like, well, he said he was going to bring us peace. And it's like, you deserve, I'm sorry, you fucking, this, you were wrong. You were so wrong. You're wrong on every level a person can be wrong on. You did no work. You did no work. Why would you believe this man? Why would you not simply look at all the other things he said, like the Muslim ban? Why would a guy who put into place a Muslim ban now all of a sudden be talking to a group of Arab Muslims in America and not just be lying to you? All of a sudden he cares about your best interests and doesn't just want to shill your vote? Are you fucking, how stupid are you?
I also want to point out too, he's going to be working with someone who's going to try to create a denaturalization process.
Yes.
So if you did come in and become an American citizen, they're going to try to get rid of you. The same thing happens with people who he's going to try to get rid of birthright citizenship, which is literally enshrined in the Constitution. So good luck with that. But also, I mean, he seems to have all the levers in place to do some crazy shit. So we'll see what he does. But these are the threats that they're making right now. I cannot for the life of me imagine an immigrant at all thinking that what he's going to do for them is good. And if you're looking at anything online, you know, there's a bunch of people posting things, and I don't know how indicative it is of the right, but on occasion, someone will say, we need legal immigration. And a bunch of people, these are like right side pundits that are saying, get rid of all the illegals. I don't want to say, I'm using their words when I say illegals. Right. Don't send me a message and say, you shouldn't say illegals. I know you shouldn't say illegals. I would never say it as a person who is talking about someone who is undocumented. I'm just saying it as what they would have written. And they would say, get rid of him. And they'll say something to justify it by saying something like, we need better immigration processes or something. And people will post on there and say, no, we need no immigration. We need to shut immigration off for decades. They're like, we don't need any immigration. So there's a group of people that are on the far, far, far right that are pushing this Overton window and have been pushing it for years. And Trump has been accelerating this by publicizing cases where, somebody gets injured by an immigrant or something like that, or killed by an immigrant. So suddenly, or an undocumented person. And so suddenly that gets thrust into the news as if it's, this is happening all over the place. And it's like a tiny little blip in comparison to how many undocumented people are here. But really, genuinely, these people, they want to shove that over within window as far as they can over.
100%.
And eventually, we're going to wind up with a system where you're going to be lucky if you can be an immigrant. So these people that voted for him, that were worried about another place on the globe, I am sorry, but there is not another place on the globe that these people care about. And that should have been evident to you before you pulled the lever.
It should have been incredibly evident. It should. And the people who are calling for no immigration, the birth rate, The current birth rate in the United States right now is 1.66 births per woman. You need,
that's not enough.
Yeah, you need a little over two.
It's just, do the math, man. Do the fucking math.
But these guys, they're just so fucking, I'm done saying anything else. They're just so fucking stupid. They are stupid fucking people. They want, we got to get rid of all immigration. Oh, really? Like, how's it working out in countries that have, You know, how did it work out for China when they went to the one child policy? Yeah. Did that work out real well for
them?
How
did it work out in Japan?
How did it work out in Japan, right? No, it's decimating to their entire country and their economy and their way of living. It's fucking crushing. We need a certain amount of immigration just to replace our current population level.
Yeah.
So we have money constantly feeding into the fucking kitty so we can take care of the next generation. So we can have people that are young to like build the next set of roads. You can't just have a population full of fucking old people. We need immigration. America's never not had migrant workers as the backbone, the absolute backbone of this country. Part of me is like, you know what? Fucking fine. Let's do no immigration for a while. Let's see how it works, you stupid assholes. Let's see how fast you open that up.
I love the LGBT, et cetera, community and the Qs, which brings me to tonight's guests who are going to help us kick off the festivities. They are what Staten Island is all about. They're immigrants. They're big-time gays. Super-duper gay.
Okay.
Without further ado, come on out, guys!
Hey. Also from the Joe My God blog, evangelicals push Trump to rescind LGBTQ protections. Southern Baptist Convention public policy leaders asked the incoming administration to prioritize restricting abortion and reversing anti-discrimination protections for LGBTQ plus people. Shock of shocks,
yeah,
Cecil.
Well, you knew it was going to happen.
Of course they were. Yeah.
You knew it was going to happen. And this feeds... Here's the thing that Trump does the best is tear shit up that someone else did because he doesn't want anybody else to have any credit.
Right.
He wants to kick down every sandcastle anyone else has ever built ever. He is a sandcastle kicker. He walks around no matter where he's at and he kicks the sandcastles down that somebody spent all their time on. He will kick them down. He loves to do that. That is one thing he revels in. And one thing I think that he's good at is just to try to break whatever somebody else did because he doesn't want anybody else to get credit. And this is a perfect opportunity for them to go back on some of these decisions that were passed from a more progressive Supreme Court and from a more progressive time back when Obama was president and to say, you know what? We're going to put in all these you got a guy in there right now who might be the defense secretary who's talking about how he doesn't even want women in combat situations.
Yes.
Well, how is he going to treat trans people? How is he going to treat, LGBT people?
Oh, I know. Badly.
Oh, of course you do. Yeah.
Badly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, badly. Yeah. And that's the key. And that's the key is anything that Trump can tear down, he's going to tear down. He's putting people in place that will also amplify that signal. So if you voted for him because you wanted something else, understand that you voted to take your rights away if you were part of one of these groups.
This story comes from AaronInTheMorning.com. Republicans file 32 anti-trans bills on first day in Texas. Texas wasted no time escalating its attacks on transgender people as the state GOP pre-filed 32 anti-trans bills on the first day of the 2025 legislative session's pre-filing period. In recent years, Texas has become a hotbed for anti-trans legislation, with each session delivering harsher crackdowns. Last session alone, the state passed 6 anti-trans laws, including a criminal ban on drag, currently enjoined in court, sports bans, a youth health care ban, and DEI restrictions. Following a national ad campaign, we saw hundreds of millions poured into dehumanizing transgender people. Republican-controlled states are now under scrutiny over their future plans for transgender residents.
And we saw, too, the first, before Congress even enters session, or Senate even enters session, they're trying to pass a transgender bathroom bill on the Capitol Hill, because there's a trans senator now and they want to pass something, or a trans congressperson. I'm not sure. I don't know which one. I don't remember. But in any case, they're trying to pass a bill now so that that person can't use the washroom somewhere else.
Yeah.
And the thing is like, this is that party, man. This is that party. They want to go after the trans community, and they've proven it time and time and time again by trying to demonize the trans community, and they've done it every chance they've had an opportunity to go after them. They've done it. And so like, this is going to be, I really feel like this is going to be a very difficult time for trans people in this country, because there's going to be one attack after another, after another, after another from all these legal institutions. And it's going to be state and federal.
Yeah. You know, and the result too of this, the social result of this, there's the legal results, and we'll see what they get done. Right. And they'll get some of this passed for sure. And then, you know, there's unfortunately the social result. And the social result is that, you know, it was going to create an environment where it emboldens people to feel more bigoted. It emboldens people to take out their anger and their hatred and their confusion and their rage and their frustration on people that they see as different, people they don't understand, people for whatever reason that they can't stand the sight of. We've seen enormous rises in the emboldening of the attacks on women, the attacks on trans people, the attacks on people of color. These things, I mean, look at the people, the Asian Americans that were attacked as a result of the Kung Flu bullshit that Trump was spouting. It is just going to be categorically physically less safe.
And then he would throw his brainy ass back in jail.
This is a fun story. It's from Live Science. Neuroscientists taught rats to drive tiny cars, and the rats took them out on joyrides. Cecil, the cars themselves are adorable.
Oh, so cute. It's adorable. I love, too, that rats are like, no, the real treasure is the friends we made along the way. I love that shit. It's fucking amazing. It's I will say, you know, I don't know that reading the story itself is 100% uplifting. I will say that. If you're a little squeamish, maybe not read the entire story, because there's some parts of the story that are a little gross.
Yikes. Yeah.
But if you get any takeaways from this, it's that rats like driving cars. And I know that's true because I've been to New York.
And they will still probably do a better job than my DoorDash driver does. Yeah. So
they will deliver. They deliver the pizza, but it's in their mouth.
I get it, though. Like, I still can't believe every once in a while I'll get in my car and be like, I can't believe they let me do this.
I love driving too. Like, I'll tell you, the best stuff is when you're driving on like a road trip type thing. Those are a lot of fun, man. Oh, I really like road trips.
I love it. And the chance to drive a new car.
Oh, yeah.
I get excited. A new car. I can drive something new. Yeah, it's fucking fun, man. I'm a rat in a cage then. So this story comes from mylondon.net. AI tool that sounds like elderly grandmother created by O2 to waste phone scammers' time. O2 said the tool had been successful in keeping numerous scammers on calls for up to 40 minutes at a time.
Perfect, Tom. If there has been a more perfect use for AI and chatbots, it is this. It is getting Kit Boga out of a job. That is what it is. That's the perfect thing. It's absolutely perfect.
I
actually feel for Kit Boga because, like, I don't want him to see him get out of a job.
But I don't want to see him out. I think he'll be just fine for at least a while. I love that. I am afraid of AI in every way, but this one. This is it. This is the
this
one
is a
thing.
Great way.
This is it. Like, I know that it's, you know, it's fucking drones with flamethrowers flying through the sky, piloted by fucking evil computers. I get that. That's the world we're going into. I'm fine with it as long as these fucking scammers have their times wasted.
Oh, I know.
Like, if I walk out my door and a fucking robot dog shoots me in the face or whatever with its like fucking shoulder mounted machine gun because it fucking recognizes the wrong face, I'm going to die thinking, well, at least the scammers got their time wasted.
I just hope the AI asks them to put a fish on their head or whatever, like that one scam baiter for a long time. Oh my gosh, where they make the people put the fish on their head and take a photo.
You guys, there is a fucking...
That's so fucking mean, dude.
One of my favorite websites, it's old as fuck, and it looks old. It's 419eater.com, and it is like people who make it like a hobby to scam bait, and this is old school, and they would get these people to send them pictures of them like getting tattoos of like, I got scammed or shit, like, because they don't speak English very well. So they'd get these, like, tattoos. They'd hold fish on their heads. They would, like, send them, like, carvings of Wallace and Gromit. Like, they made them do crazier and crazier and crazier stuff. It is, I'm first time I saw that, I laughed until I cried and cried and cried.
It's so mean, but it's really so good. Funny. But this is a great, I think too, when it comes to like scam baiting, this is the perfect thing for a chatbot to do because the chatbot doesn't really understand what's happening. And
right.
There's no danger it's going to do anything. And it's going to constantly be asking you how to do stuff and it won't know. And it's playing a part, right? So it's digging into all the large language models, digging into all this database stuff. And then it's regurgitating it out. It's the perfect use for AI. I hope this takes off and it makes it so it's difficult for these people because, you know, you get one of these calls. I get a couple a week
yeah.
where I'll get somebody to call me to be like, hey, this is the FBI. We have your social security number. You're going to be liable for $20,000. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to call you back. What are you kidding me? Like the FBI
I know,
doesn't right? know my name. And they're like, yeah, we just called this random number. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, and that, or you'll get, you know, the social security scams.
Yeah.
And like, there's all kinds of other different scams out there where people, you know, oh, this is, there was a charge on your account. I'll cut that on occasion
yeah.
where someone will call me and tell me there's a charge on my account. I'll get emails of that type that have a phone number on them. They want to get you on the phone so that they can convince you that they're a real person. But if there's nothing on the end of it, but a chatbot that can't do anything,
ugh.
It's the best case scenario.
And what they've got to do is they've got to make it so that like doing these scams costs too much money and is not effective.
And
these
if that can do that,
it yeah, can.
They'll
it
unplug
can do
the
it.
Whole, they'll unplug the whole operation.
It's got, that's the only way to win. I will say too, like I have read stories and they've really kind of like fucking kind of touched me. Like I've read stories that a lot of the people who are running these scams, especially these text phishing scams, a lot of these people are like human trafficked. They're like
yeah,
stolen.
Yeah, yeah.
Like these are people that have been like literally kidnapped.
I heard that before, yeah.
And so like now I used to mess with those people and now I don't mess with them anymore. Cause now I'm like, fuck, like I don't want you to scam somebody else. But like, I also don't, like I just feel terrible on every side of the equation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like if you can just run all this through AI and it just kills the business model, that's the best way.
I want to mention too this week that we are going to be having a patron AMA. We do these on occasion. So if you aren't a patron, you can go listen to the questions that the patrons asked us and you can participate in the future by becoming a patron. So we of course would encourage everybody to become patrons. We know that it's a difficult time and it's going to be a difficult time for us too moving forward because very specifically, there are going to be some people who are going to be leaving their news podcasts behind. And so if you are somebody who's been on the edge of your seat, not sure you're going to be a patron, I don't know, and you've been listening to us for a while, we would really appreciate it if you went over to patreon.com/dissonancepod or dissonancepod.com and became a patron on a per episode basis because very specifically, you know, we're going to be losing some patrons as time goes on just through attrition and just through people that sometimes don't want to listen to the show anymore because they're, you know, they're trying to get away and trying to save their own sanity, which we understand and we empathize with. But if you are someone who has listened for a long time and you haven't become a patron, now might be a great time to do it. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards.
And I got half a mind to find your old man and kick him in the
nuts
so hard he can never foul the earth with another little shit like you.
Shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/dissonancepod. Help us spread the word by sharing our content. Find us on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, and Threads, all under the handle @DissonancePod. This show is CAN credentialed, which means you can report instances of harassment, abuse, or other harm on their hotline at 617-249-4255 or on their website at creatoraccountabilitynetwork.org.